So, Marv Albert hung him up last week after 50 years of broadcasting, 55 years of broadcasting.
Is that right?
Did his first game as the Knicks broadcaster on WCBS in 1963. My goodness. He was actually filling in for Marty Glickman at the time, who was in Europe. I did not know that until today.
Why do I know that name?
He's just a long time, you know, he's probably one of the more famous sports or broadcasters, really, of that era, of the starting in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and he had a really long career. But Marv Albert, he signs off. He's there with, I think the last one might have been with Grant Hill. But all you heard were the well wishes and the people telling him how much that they had changed his life and what a mentor he was to them as a young broadcaster. And that's probably all true. But for me, once I found out about Marv Albert's court case back in the 90s, the only thing I think about when I see Marv Albert is him wearing panties. And it never changed. And it's remarkable, as we go through this, that with just a few years' time, he was not only back on the call, but most people, including Blake and Mino, who I think we're doing this segment for, had no idea about the panties. They would just listen to Marv, and they would listen to him on video games as the voice of an NBA video game, and they didn't think, when they heard yes, they didn't hear, they didn't see panties like I did.
No, I did not think about the panties.
This was the biggest story in 1997.
Yeah.
I was in radio. I was working in Youngstown. And this is like all we talked about for quite some time.
I can imagine. It was the lead segment, or it was the cold open on SNL. Because this is heavy in my SNL days, like 1996 on.
And Marv was huge. Marv was even way bigger than now.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he was on Letterman all the time. And I was a big Letterman fan. So he was transcendent, you know. It wasn't just sports fans knew him. Everybody knew Marv Albert. And all of a sudden, this court case comes out where he's getting sued, or I guess you're going to go through, right? Is this an official Kemp spin?
It is. This Kemp is spin. An official. And he was, so he was the lead play-by-play guy on NBA on NBC from 1990 to 2002, which was, again, my wheelhouse.
Which makes it even bigger. NBC is, you know, TNT is big, but
it's NBC.
When it's on one of the regular networks back in the day when not everybody had cable or anything, that yeah. makes it even bigger.
And I remember a lot of those games like were on Sunday afternoon, and it was just awesome. I loved the NBA of that era, and Marv was the voice of that. So he was accused of assaulting a woman named Vanessa Perhock in 1997. This is the initial allegation. The allegation was that in February, he had thrown her onto a bed, he bit her, and then after an argument, forced her to perform oral sex on him. I've always been curious about the logistics. I certainly know that it's possible and that that's a common thing in serious assault cases, but I just don't. It's kind of like when Trump said, grab him by the pee, and I still to this day am like, what is that?
How do you do that?
How exactly does that work?
What kind of angle do you take?
Yeah, I've never even considered that that verb and that subject belong in the same sentence. It doesn't compute. But I know that this is a thing. So DNA testing linked him to genetic material that was taken from the bite marks and the greemen that was found in her underwear. So it was there. It was very obvious.
It was him.
It was there. Yeah, exactly.
Now, was he saying the biting was consensual?
Initially, yes, he was. He was saying that the biting was consensual and that everything was consensual and that she was extorting him. That he had had a 10-year sexual relationship with her. He actually went on 2020 with Barbara Walters after this all was over. This was in November of 1997 with his current fiance. So he had gotten engaged since the biting in February, alleged biting, in that time, he had gotten engaged, and he claims that this woman, the initial accuser, Vanessa Perhock, was only bringing this to light because she was jealous that he was about to break off their decade-long tryst, I think it is, Craig, and engage another woman. So he maintained that story, that that part was consensual. He went on with Barbara Walters, the two of them together, and sat down and did an interview. But where this thing really turned was during trial. This was in September of 1997. Tell me if you think that this headline from this newspaper article is witty. Surprise witness, quote, belts Marv. So they bring in another woman at trial. She has nothing to do with this particular criminal case, and that she's not accusing Marv Albert of anything that would be punishable by the law. But the prosecution calls another woman in to surprise and horror of Marv, I'm sure, and to most of the gathered there at the courthouse that day. This woman tells another story to try to establish that this is not an isolated incident, but yet a pattern of behavior. And her story was the one that really, really set things sideways, because her story was the one that she said, as part of her role as a traveling like hotel liaison for the New York Knicks, like she would set, she was basically a fix you up with a hotel, a fixer, whatever you need. She would get you if you were with the Knicks while traveling. So Marv knew her and had known her for a long time. And the details are hilarious. One, they were in Dallas. This was back in 1994 when this incident allegedly occurred. They were in Dallas, and she called. She was called by Marv up to her room because he needed help sending a fax.
Okay.
Which, just everything about that sentence is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So she says, when she gets to the door, he says, come on in. And quote, I turned around and I saw him standing there. I saw him standing there in white panties and a garter belt. So he's already waiting for some action. She stood there in shock as Albert approached her and began to rub against her. He told me he was tense and needed some relief. Then he bit the back of my neck and pushed me. And then she said that he tried to force her to perform the growl.
Uh-huh.
What is anybody else hearing that?
Yeah, I hear a ring.
That's the fire alarm.
Oh, there's a fire alarm in the building today. I read that email.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
So after saying that that this is another woman saying that Marv attempted to force me to perform on him, she then said, I went to grab his hair and his hair lifted off. He immediately put his hands on his hair and I ran out of the room. So he's not embarrassed to be standing there in a white garter belt and panties. He's not embarrassed to be grabbing a woman, but as soon as his hairpiece goes whoop,
that's what, like, this is what will ruin me.
Exactly.
You know, that's, you know, my move on, my theory on this thing. I've had this theory on other things before, similar, just in the sense of, if you think that's weird that she walked in, he was already wearing panties and a garter belt, and you would think that move's not going to work on any women. It's worked before. He's Marv Albert. And somebody has walked in. He's invited them to the room. He shows up in panties and a garter belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked.
The hit rate has got to be higher than the miss rate.
I feel like you just don't start with panties and a garter belt.
Right.
And see if this works. You work into that. And I think maybe back to the Epstein theory, right? It was too easy just being Marv Albert.
Yeah.
Wearing my suit, I could, of course, have sex with any one woman who would walk in here. Let's up the game a little bit. It's more excitement. I need excitement. Everything's too boring. I'm Marv Albert. I get everything I want.
Well, speaking of more excitement, the initial accuser, who was actually the woman who he was on trial, I suppose, against, the argument that they had that resulted in, she says, him biting her and trying to force him her to perform, that argument, according to her, was over the fact that he had made it very clear to her, when you show up, bring another dude.
Mm.
And she didn't.
Up in the game. So
yeah.
He had never asked for that before?
Right. And this time, after they've been doing it for 10 years,
yeah,
he says, you know what?
This is getting stale.
I need a new pitch this offseason.
Yeah.
Bring another dude.
I can totally see that.
And when she didn't, he grew angry and assaulted her. Now, during the trial, he did provide this one statement. Mino, I have my court up here. And you'll enjoy some of the peanut gallery here as Marv is not taking questions.
I would like to reassert my innocence and reiterate that all the charges against me are false and will be proven false in a court of law. I would like to thank my family, my friends, but regardless of how strongly I feel about my innocence and the lack of due process, I simply cannot discuss the allegations at this time. However, I will continue my work with the NBA, NBC Sports, and MSG Network while I establish my innocence in a public courtroom.
Hey, Marv, you wear your...
And thank you very much, and I'm sorry, unfortunately, I can't answer any questions.
Hold on. Yeah, I think he's trying to say, do you wear your... And then he gets cut off, and then there's more.
Courtroom.
Hey, Marv, you wear your...
And thank you very much, and I'm sorry, unfortunately, I can't answer any questions. Thank you.
Is biting foreplay?
Well, come to find out, Marv would not continue his work for NBA on NBC at that time because after tests proved that the bite marks were in fact his, he pled guilty to misdemeanor assault and battery charges. The sodomy charge was dropped. He was given a 12-month suspended sentence, so he didn't do time, and NBC fired him before the 1997-1998 season. Bob Costas took over. Bob Costas took over for 3 seasons. 2.5 seasons. And then NBC brought Marv Albert back, and he's been doing games in some form or fashion since then.
And just nothing to see here, right?
No.
Back with the Knicks, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like, I can't remember what else we were talking about today. Just that at a certain age, people don't know. It was Damian Lillard, right? Damian Lillard publicly lobbied for Jason Kidd to be their head coach, and then people told him about some of the allegations and actually some of the things Jason Kidd was found guilty of. And Damian Lillard was like, whoa, 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 I didn't know anything about that. I was 9, 10 years old at the time. There is a massive portion of the NBA audience who was watching Marv this year on TNT who has no idea that he pled guilty to biting a woman wearing panties.
And if you're of a certain age, anytime you hear Marv Albert, think of. Because
and I'm on the other side of that line.
It's like the OJ thing, right?
Right.
At some point, you do something that's so crazy that you're like, well, that's what I know you for now.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew you as Heisman winner, 2,000-yard rusher, ABC announcer, but now I know you as murderer. Yeah. You know, once you do that, it's hard to shake that. So in my mind, every time I see him doing a game, I've been at the arena and you see him there. I'm like, damn. And I try to picture him in panties and his wig falling half off and asking for a dude. That's all I can think about with him. So it just seems weird that the people who hired him back, that's not all they can think about, too.
Well, they were right. They were right that went on, people would just not think about the panties.
And when he retired the other night or took his last, it was his last ever broadcast, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't one mention of that.
No. And maybe that's, I don't know if that's
right or not. Did you know anything about this, Blake?
No.
Mino?
Just what I picked up from you guys and...
Yeah,
you know,
I know about the biting
run.
And the assault, because it's never left him. Every time his name gets brought up, I feel like this is the first thing that gets mentioned.
Maybe on social media.
From us.
I mean, dude, it was the cold open. It was Tim Meadows as Oprah, and she was interviewing Marv Albert, but it was Norm.
Really?
And it's awesome.
I need this?
It's about 4 minutes long, but it's, you know, her this first question is just, so, Marv, you like to get freaky. And he's like, yes. So you bit that woman, huh? Yes, but I thought she was a pizza. It was the biggest story in the country at the time. All right, coming up next, let's sports sesh it up, including Olympic Dan.